So I wonder if it feels different now to ask the same question. Like we're asking the question from more of a focusing place and from more of the place of the client rather than the therapist. What is it, what kind of interaction makes someone better? Does it feel different to answer it from this place?
Is something fresh came for me.
Ah.
In that way. Look. Yeah.
Tell us.
I felt like I could land safely when my therapist would recognize something implicit but make it explicit. Something on the edge right there.
Yes.
That is very...
It's like being really tuned into,
noticing,
and it felt safe. Making the implicit explicit.
We
try to do that in focusing-oriented therapy as sort of a very, central part. Anybody else?
For me, I felt the healing part was the gaze of the therapist. That I felt both seen and prized. And I realized after I said that with one parent I felt seen but not prized. With my other parent I felt prized but not seen. So this combination of feeling both was what was the healing thing for me.
Wow, that's so interesting.
So Joan, when you say prized, is that prize, P-R-I-C-E-D? No.
Z-E-D.
Z-E-D.
Like a prize.
Z.
P-R-I-Z.
Something very precious.
A present.
Treasure prize.
Like a present.
Precious. When
you win a prize.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Kohut talks about that as one of the three, something similar.
Mm. What does he say? What are the three?
The three self-object experiences or the nutrients of emotional well-being are idealizing, of being inspired and held, and
mirroring.
Mirroring, which is the gleam in the mother's eye, which is similar to being prized.
Yes.
You know, it's the gleam in the eye.
Yeah.
And the third one is twinship, of being alike, feeling yourself as a human among humans, as having this joined feeling.
And how did you say that? The three foundations of
three. The way I put it is three nutrients. Like in your diet, you need these three things. Nutrients of, he called it self-object experiences, but for those of you who don't know old-time self-psychology, that wouldn't mean much. But the three nutrients or ingredients of what you need for well-being and growth.
I can't read it from here. It's the middle one.
Idealizing, mirroring, and twinship. So prized is close to the mirroring, but it isn't just being seen. It's being seen in a very positive light.
Well, that's what
and being precious.
That he uses the gleam in the mother's eye.
Yes,
as that
right.
You know,
right.
Being, oh, there she is.
Right. Yes.
My. Yes.
Right. Something about lighting up.
Yes, the lighting up.
The lighting up.
Yeah.
Enjoying you.
Yes.
It's almost like somebody's
enjoying you.
Yeah. It's really.
Yeah.
I say to my new supervisees that know nothing about doing therapy, I say, just enjoy your patients. These are more psychoanalytic, so I have to change from client to patient depending on what community. Just enjoy them.
Yeah.
And something healing will happen.
Yeah, that's great.
There's valuing is big in the prized, along with enjoying. You know, it's just such a special...
Enjoying, valuing, yes.
The precious to you.
Yes.
I just want to share that I think my experience was one that would fit into the twinship category.
Yeah.
I shared that when I, probably 20, 25 years ago, I had a therapist who, a male who would start the session with some kind of musical instrument, the strings.
Really?
Just for a few minutes, yeah. And then what I remember that I took with me and have often remembered is that at one point he said, sometimes we humans have long dark seasons. Sometimes we humans have long dark seasons where we're not sure what will make a difference. And it was that joining with that really just made me feel like it was okay, we humans. You know, how powerful that was.
Yes.
Twinship.
Yes.
That's the twinship part.
That's the twinship, yeah. That idea of the we.
Yes, right.
That.
How to have that verbalized. Yes. Very helpful. Yeah.
Very.
I've used that a lot myself over the years, the we.
Yes.
We humans, you know. It's helpful to people, I think.
Yes, it's very powerful to use the word we.
It is.
Well, that makes so. I was trying to think. I thought of an interaction with I won't call it couples therapy, but therapy with another person that I was having recently, and I was trying to think. So, what was it? Because I was describing the experience between myself and the other person, and what was healing in that experience. So it wasn't directly with a therapist. So then I was saying, well, what was the therapist doing and why did that happen? How did that happen there? And I don't even remember. But I think it would just be the way that therapist created a safe space and a sense of us, we're here for a common goal. So I think there was finding the place where we had a common, myself and the other client had...
We were
in these hard places, but it was a place where we were agreeing. Yes, we have there is a we.
Yes,
and we're finding it because we were really like there's no we, you know.
Right.
So it was like yes, there is a we. So it was finding, like acknowledging something, some way that she helped us acknowledge that there was in fact a we.
Yes,
and we could make ourselves vulnerable in that process.
Yes.
What she did exactly, I honestly don't remember.
We're going to talk about later how so much of what we do has to do with a way of being and an atmosphere that we create that comes from a kind of attitude. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But that idea of the attitude of a we, that we might... I always loved how Jean Genlin described with a client that he's having a lot of trouble, a big rupture, saying, we're like this right now. And that was so... so lovely to me to capture. It's still a we, and we are like this. And it helps to feel like, oh, it's not just like I'm all alone with this crazy person that doesn't understand me. Yeah. We are like this.
Yeah.
And it sounds like there was a feeling that you could still be a we, even though you're in conflict and all over the place. It's like being held or the container of the we.
Yep.
Right. We're contained in a we.
And he sounds so engaged.
Anybody else? Anything?
Joan, where you mentioned the two aspects of what you came up with that reminded you of both parents, you got me thinking because I had a dual thing also. And it's falling into place. So one was like about respect in a really good way around autonomy in the right developmental sensitivity, you know, just right. That had to do with respect and autonomy. And the other one had to do with embrace and being held and knowing you're taken care of. And it seemed like they both had to go together there in my... So that was kind of neat. Thank you.
So the kind of interaction that makes us better is the kind that can include both the respect for the individuality, the letting go, and the embrace together.
It's interesting that the two of you here brought kind of two parents, right? And we're talking about the we and how we grew up in a we parents, our parents, and how we may want the two to merge or the two to get, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting,
yes. In terms of systems upon systems, we come out of a family system, and we come out of a generational system, and then we are a system. And
So, here are two things here. One is there's the container, or what I'm thinking of as the context within which this we exists.
Yes.
But there's also at the same time the dance. So there's the interacting that's going on within within the context. So as we step back and ask the question, then you know, what is this healing interaction that we want to be? We have to answer that question on two different levels. One is contextual, and then the other one would be how do we dance?
Right, that's that, right.
That'd be.
And when you say contextual, it's such a wonderful word.
You know,
the container.
Yeah. Container is limited. The context can be a little bit broader.
The context is the all of the other systems,
that's
right? All everything else, all the complexity.
Yes.
Right? Jean has a term that I've always loved, of an implicit intricacy, that on the implicit level, everything is more and more and more and more intricate. And then I wanted to introduce the term implicit relational intricacy. That every relating is infinitely intricate. Every system is infinitely intricate and complex, more and more and more and more as we go into it. You know, so it's more and more and more going on. It used to be that when you would want your client to talk about the relationship, you would want the client to talk about what's going on between us, which we still do. We love it when our clients talk about what's going on between us. But in the old days, it used to be like there was a particular thing going on between us, right? And the therapist knew what it was. This is going on between us, right? Yeah. From this point of view, it's like, what's going on between us? Please! It's like infinite implicit intricacy, right? And if we can grab one strand of that, it does something to move the system, right? To one little strand of it. But we don't think anymore that we have the whole scoop, or that we know and that the client doesn't know. But let's just have any other images or sharing at this point. Maybe I'll share what came to me that you helped me with. I remembered a moment in my therapy where I was shut down and sort of didn't know what to say. And my therapist took my hand to look at a ring that I had, a moonstone ring, and said, "That's beautiful. What does it mean to you?" And that was such a moment of opening up for me. And so I was feeling, well, what was it about that? I mean, that's sort of an unusual thing to do, but it doesn't seem like a particularly therapeutic thing to do. And when I felt into it, it was like the feeling of the other person reaching out. It was a reaching out. And it was an interest beyond the place where I was stuck, feeling shut down. It was an interest in a bigger me that had some connection to this ring. And sort of seeing that bigger me in the ring, seeing the more intricate me. But I think the most important thing was the physical, you know, feeling of somebody reaching out.
Yeah.
I was just thinking when you brought that up, because there's also taking the attention off something can actually get that thing to come up more.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes.
If you focus too hard on something, you know, if you're always hammering away,
yes,
it's like enough. But when you do something like that, that's sort of like, oh, you know, and what is this? It's like taking the attention off so that you can, in fact, then move
yes
into something deeper, but...
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes, exactly. And I think that the lens of thinking about an interaction or a system is very helpful to us, because it's not like, oh, my job is to get to the bottom of this, to solve this problem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
My job is to make an interaction that's going to be alive, right? Mm-hmm. So I can do it. We could talk about a movie. We could anything that brings us into a lively, connected place is going to make something better. It doesn't have to be burrowing into some particular track there. And then that particular track can open up, like in the case with the new us, where Harry is so depressed and he wants Ellen to tell him about her life. And she just tells him about her life. Mm-hmm. It is the place where a liveliness can come into the system. It can't come through him being in bed, you know. But it can come through her. And then he was able to sort of take that and have some sense of what a life would be like, and go out to dinner and go to the movies and do the things that she had been talking about. Mm-hmm. Sort of like the system broadened there.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like the willingness of a therapist to join the client where she is.
That's right.
That's the moment when really you feel, I need you to be where I am. And you are willing, and you are doing that, and it feels good.
Yes,
and this is what she did for Harry. Mm-hmm. She joined him where he needed her to be.
Yes, exactly. And I love your word, Ala, about willing.
Right,
I love willing. It's a beautiful word.
Right.
There's Donna Arend, who's a self-psychologist, writes about emotional availability. And she says emotional availability is a kind of readiness to respond. And it comes out of the infant research about what is most important in mothering is this readiness to respond to what the other is implicitly or explicitly asking or needing. And the willing sounds like that to me.
It's almost like it's act of... your own desire. You like, this is what I want to do.
Oh, yes, I love that point.
I want to do it for you because you're asking me to do this, and I want to do it for you because
that's such a beautiful point. That the therapist or the mother or the whoever, the parent or the partner or whoever it is, it's important that they want to. Mm-hmm. It's a wanting.
Because I know it's important for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to do it.
Yeah.
I want to be. Mm-hmm. Not only I'm willing because you're paying me. No. I'm supposed to. My job. Mm-hmm. But I am willing. I want to.
Right.
I want to because it's going to make... So that's the place where... it's not like I want to because you need it and then you're going to feel better. It's like I want to because it's going to make us better. You know, if you feel better, I'm going to feel better because we're living in the same soup.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not like that will make you feel better and I'll feel worse.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't really work.
Right.
If you give until you're drained to some client that is needy, notice that.
Needy.
There's a whole particular flavor to that. Mm-hmm. I'm the together one, and that's the needy client. And I give more than I want to, that isn't going to make us better.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find something where I'm willing, where I want to, because it's going to make me better, because I'm living in this us. You know, my life depends on, my life with that person depends on that, on us being better. Then I'm more alive. I don't go home feeling exhausted and mm-hmm. burnt out and like I want another job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and isn't it also that we would, might think of it in terms of the interaction calls that forth?
Yes,
the interaction
exactly.
Requires that, and I want to be, I am in the interaction and I want to give what's required or what's helpful.
Such a good point. Yeah. Such a good point.
Yeah.
Yes. Sort
and
of like the
you know, because we're in this together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. the thing that is most powerful for me about working with the us is that instead of me trying to get the client to do this or that or mm-hmm. see this or that or and I can notice that right away. I'm trying to get them to understand or to do or to
pause or to focus or
right to pause or to focus or to be in touch or to be more present or slow down or whatever mm-hmm. I'm trying to get them. There's a particular energy to it, and one of the most important things that I would love you to develop is an awareness of that energy of mm-hmm. I'm trying to get them, and because the minute you have that, you're sunk.
Yeah.
Forget it. And then instead of that, if you have, I'm willing to change the system. And your part, what you added in there was so important, that the
interaction
calls me to
it.
It calls it forth from me.
Right.
Beautiful words. It calls it forth from me. I am willing because I'm in it, right?
This is what's needed.
This is what's needed yeah. to for us to come alive. This is what's needed mm-hmm. for this precious thing that I'm part of to come alive. And mm-hmm. it's reciprocal. It calls it from me, and I'm willing. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of some spiritual thing somebody here will know. Where God calls and it's like it's a Hebrew term meaning I am here.
Hineni?
Hineni, yes. How do you say it?
Hineni.
Hineni. Hineni, yes. It's like for me, God is the whole big interaction, the whole big system, you know, the whole big interaction calls it from me and then I'm willing. I say, yes, here I am.
That's the translation, here I am.
Here mm-hmm. I am. Mm-hmm.
And Abraham Joshua Heschel has books, one book, God in Search of Man, the other Man in Search of God.
Yes.
That reciprocal.
Yes, right? Yes, yes, yes. And we can bring that sensibility into our therapy relationships because we're a microcosm. The dyad is a microcosm of the larger and larger and larger and larger. Systems, but that feeling of it being called from me, I love that, yes.
So we're just at 2:30, would this be a time to take a little break?
Yes, it would. Thank you for keeping time for us, I appreciate it. So we'll take just a 5-minute break because we have so much that we want to do here.
Sleep for 5 minutes.
Right. Stretch.
5-minute wriggle.
7-minute stretch.
That was very good.
Yeah.